From NPR Music, you're connected to the spring preview edition of All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan.
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know. On the dashboard and melted, but we still have the radio.
Joining us to talk about new releases coming in the spring of 2007, some of my favorite music writers and thinkers, Will Hermes, a writer for Spin Magazine, The New York Times, and Entertainment Weekly. Meredith Oakes, a host at Sirius Satellite Radio's Outlaw Country Channel. Robert Christgau, contributing editor for Rolling Stone magazine, and his Consumer Guide Reviews can be found on Microsoft Networks. All are writers for NPR's All Things Considered. And we begin our upcoming releases with Modest Mouse. The CD is called We Were Dead Before the Ship Ever Sank. Ah, beautiful day, great song. Welcome, everybody.
Hey. Hello.
I am in love with the Modest Mouse record.
Oh, I am really in love with the Modest Mouse record as well. The dashboard melted, but we still had the radio. That's the kind of song I want to hear in my car.
It's a fantastic song about a car crash and everything. I think the windshield's busted, but he's just digging on the fresh air.
Cheery evocations of the apocalypse. I think we need more of them.
I didn't know he was such a happy guy.
Well, crazy. He's a little happier now, actually.
I don't think so.
He's trying at least.
Are the meds
backstory.
Tweaked?
The backstory.
And you're talking
is,
about Isaac Brock here, so just. Right. So we get that straight.
Exactly. The front man, longtime front man and CEO of Modest Mouse. He seems to be doing well. He's got a fiance, and he seems, at least from all the reports.
But I don't find, I don't find the evidence. I'm sure that in his personal life, he is a happy fellow. But there are many happy fellows who make sad art.
But Bob, that is such a happy song, though. I mean, just, that song "Dashboard." There are a couple other good ones too. "We've Got Everything" is also pretty chipper melodically, anyway.
Well, let's give a listen to some of that. This is off the new Modest Mouse record. Another great title for a CD, isn't it, Will?
We were dead before the ship even sank.
I think Will got the title of the CD wrong, so let's just correct that.
I got the title right. You got the title wrong.
I got the title wrong.
That is correct.
Okay. How the heck did Johnny Marr, guitarist of the Smiths, and
where is he there? Does anybody hear him?
He does very little fills, that little sort of chicken scratchy fill.
Well, right. I mean,
in there, his work is very subtle. I was expecting this to be a Smiths record.
Oh,
it
well.
Certainly was not. But gosh, it's the kind of '80s revivalism that I really can get behind because
Johnny Marr, guitar god.
Because he is just a very tasteful guitarist. He came in at Isaac Brock's whim. Isaac Brock lost his guitar player from the last record, needed a new one, and he just thought, wow, why not see what Johnny Marr's
He's
doing?
He's in the Yellow Pages.
I always liked what he did with the Smiths. And sure enough, Johnny Marr was conned into coming out to Portland, Oregon, hung out with the band for a while. They clicked, and he's actually a member of Modest Mouse now, plays on every track on the record. But you can't always hear him that clearly.
It doesn't have any effect that I can discern on the sound of the band.
Really? I think he gives it a prettier sheen, and especially on the two cuts we just heard, it's kind of an 80s sort of dance rock sort of feel that their early stuff didn't have.
The thing is, I've always felt that they did exactly the same thing again and again and again, and I like that thing, but rhythmically they've always been pretty funky for a bunch of kids from the Northwest. Brock has always had a gift for the hook. There's always been a lot of good tunes on his records.
That's true. But I disagree only because I think when they were a trio back around the time of Lonesome Crowded West, which was a great record, it was this more spindly sound. This is a six-piece band he's got now.
It's certainly true that they beefed up the sound once they moved over to Epic. That's absolutely true.
And had some resources, yeah. But this, I think this might be their best record. Most diverse and catchiest, and I like a lot of their records.
Another group that loves the catchy is Fountains of Wayne from the other side of the country, from this East Coast here.
From New Jersey.
And they're catchy.
They're catchy.
Yeah, but not only are they catchy, they are great lyricists. Now, what I'd like to do is to read the first two stanzas of the one I'm not playing and explain how it ends, and then we can play the other one. Can I do that?
Sure.
Seth Shapiro got his law degree. He moved to Brooklyn from Schenectady, 93. He got some clients in the food industry. He says it's not the money, it's the recipes. He calls his mom, says he's doing fine. She's got somebody on the other line. That's my favorite line. Puts Coldplay on, pours a glass of wine, and curls up with a book about organized crime. The song is called Someone to Love, and the next stanza is a depiction of Beth McKenzie, who works at a teen magazine. And then, in the next stanza, it's raining, it's the next morning, and they live right near each other, and they both want a cab, and Seth Shapiro hails the cab, and Beth Shapiro beats him to the cab and rides off. That's the song.
You know what? It's all their friends who had to get real jobs when they got a record deal.
I think they should release Bob's dramatic reading of the lyrics at their next B-side.
Put a fat beat under it.
And but, leave Seth for dead, too.
But the one I want to play takes place at the DMV. It's called Yolanda Hayes.
Okay, let's listen to, from Traffic and Weather, listen to Fountains of Wayne.
When I saw her, she didn't see me. Behind window B, explaining patiently how she needs to see six forms of ID. Oh, tell me now, who do you love?
The Wonderful Pedestrian Life of Fountains of Wayne. It is a marvelous record. The song that you quoted, we had on a show a number of weeks back. People can listen to it. It's called Somebody. I don't want to get mixed up with the Queen song. Someone to Love. The Queen song, Somebody to Love, right?
And it isn't a Queen song, Bob.
Well, there's Somebody to Love by the Jefferson Airplane, too.
Three different songs. Is there a Queen song? Oh, that's right. There is. Sorry. Yeah. Take it back.
Now, there's a new Wilco record out that I've only heard one song. Meredith, have you heard this whole record yet?
Yes, I have, and they are on a serious mellow. And it's great. I
do think tell.
Really?
It's very Grateful Dead-y. It's, they're
we could see that coming.
Right, yeah. You can, and I hate to invoke the Beatles because, you know, but there's Beatles, there's Band, there's, you know, there's Lennon on, but a lot of Grateful Dead. They're very mellow. And I have to say that Nels Klein, who is this free jazz guitar guy, I didn't think he was going to fit in like he does, but it's really a perfect match. And I think this is like my favorite Wilco lineup since being there. They sound really good. Yeah. Great guitar interplay, really tasteful, respectful of the songs. And, you know, he goes off onto a few little, you know, tangents, but he always comes back to the song.
What do you mean, like jam things?
Because yeah,
I know on the last
bit.
Record that, what was it, Kids Spiders, Kids Smoke?
Yeah.
That was that long guitar
jam.
Oh,
that
jam.
Was a great cut.
Yeah, I like this much better than the last two.
Oh, wow. That last two. Strong words.
What cut are you picking for us?
Number 8, called Hate It Here. And I picked this one because I love Jeff Tweedy when he's being contrite on the domestic front. Like when he comes home to his wife and kids after being out on the road for months with like a bunch of scuzzy guys in a van or a bus, whatever. And listening to some of the lyrics here, he's saying, well, play the song and you'll hear.
Do the dishes, I mow the lawn. I try to keep myself occupied, even though I know you're not coming home. I try to keep the house nice and neat. I make my bed, I change the sheets. Washing machine, keeping things clean doesn't change anything.
Thank you, John Lennon.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That is the best Wilco song I've heard in many years.
Wow.
I really like this record.
I love it so much when guys offer to do the dishes. I really, you know.
Oh, I hate that. I love the guitar playing
I'm not
on
kidding.
Here.
I'm you know, so few rock gods do the dishes. It's really
you
unusual.
You know what? If you knew his wife, she keeps him in line. But there's also another guitarist, Pat Sansone, who's on here. And I don't know if Tweedy's playing the leads or it's Pat and Nels Klein, but it's some really nice guitar playing on this record.
The record's called Sky Blue Sky. It comes out May 15th. I was wondering if you all could just, because I've not heard but one cut, and actually I was fairly underwhelmed by it, if we could just skip around randomly on a couple of bits here. Just play, you know, a cut, then play 20 seconds and skip to another. I just want to get a flavor for what's going on the record.
Oh, the band marched on in formation. The brass was phasing. Tunes I couldn't place. How should you? Honey, I beg you, just right. You just right.
together, yeah. On and on and on, we'll be together, yeah. You and I will try to stay together, yeah. On and on and on, we'll be together, yeah. Please don't cry.
Very spare. Is that true, Meredith? Do you think that's an apt description?
Yes, I would say so.
Very pretty sounding guitar.
It's a very, very pretty record.
Bob, did I hear you say you didn't like that song that Meredith played?
No, I didn't say that. There was a song that I heard about a week and a half ago that I was very underwhelmed by. It felt just very ordinary.
Because I thought the one that Meredith played was really great.
I did too.
Yeah, well, I picked the best one, of course.
She's got the best taste.
There you go.
Indeed.
So the new Wilco record, there was a moment on there that reminded me of what Conor Oberst is a little bit up to, some of this sort of countryish flavor to his music these days. This is called Casadega. Will Hermes, you've heard this whole record.
I have. It's real good. I mean, it's a record that I think more than anything shows Mike Mogus, who's not only the producer of Bright Eyes as well as everybody who comes through that Nebraska studio that he runs, but it shows his vision as an arranger and a producer and a player. It's the most ornate, embellished Bright Eyes record, and even sort of experimental, I think. And that
more ornate than that one with the name that you can't remember because it's 40 words long.
it's going even further from there. I mean, you've got a guy singing in Arabic on one song. You've got a full orchestra, and something that you might
not. That's an appropriate gesture. I mean, what's ornate about that? It's about time.
Yeah, well, it's not necessarily what you would expect from the young new Dylan who made his name strumming heartfelt emo.
Yeah, I've been listening to this record too, and to be honest with you, I found it rather shapeless at first. But as I began to home in on it, I thought that the songwriting sounded as if back up to the previous. I mean, that double released record. I just didn't think the songs were that good as usual.
Yeah, there were a few. I feel like he really pulled together the influences of both those records because there's a lot of country rock on this record, and there's
definitely
also a song that sounds very much like the second record of that series, which sort of sounds
Digital
a little
Ash.
Bit like The Cure. Yeah, the song is called Coat Check Dream Song, which might actually be a good song to listen to if we have it queued up.
Good. Let's give a listen to Kocek Dream's song. It's on the CD called Casadega by Bright Eyes. It comes out April the 10th.
There's that sense of capturing an outrage at how things are that I think it's great to hear somebody get older and retain that outrage.
Right,
I
like the outrage part
can.
Is fine with me. It's and in fact, basically, I'm getting to like this record, but there is something a little what is it, poety, if I may coin an ugly word.
He kind of gestures towards Dylan literally at a couple of points. For somebody who's been saddled with the tag of the new Dylan, I thought it was kind of cheeky in a good way.
He's going whole hog, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he quotes just like a woman, literally, at one point.
You're going to call me the new Dylan? I will be.
Exactly. That's ballsy. Along with, singing that song to President Bush on The Tonight Show in a Stetson.
Speaking of ballsy, Elizabeth Cook has a new record out.
So now, are we going to be able to play the title song of this? The record is called Balls.
It's called Balls.
Which I'm allowed to say.
You are allowed to say that.
But the title tune contextualizes the spherical objects in question in a way that may be a little specific
for our audience.
Okay,
well, let's listen to it. Is that the one called Sometimes It Takes Balls to Be a Woman?
That is the very one.
Right, well, let's give that a listen. This is Elizabeth Cook. You come back, Robert Christgau, and tell us who Elizabeth Cook is. And just so you know, we will put, when we can, full versions of all these songs on our website. And we're talking with Robert Christgau, Meredith Oakes, and Will Hermes. Let's listen to Elizabeth Cook.
Sometimes it takes balls to be a woman. Standing up to a test.
Who's Elizabeth Cook? You have to tell me.
Elizabeth Cook is one of 11 children, it says in the bio. And when I looked it up, I realized that I'd gotten one of her records previously. In fact, I streamed them both last night. Neither of them was as good as this record. She obviously has that voice that really very... She also has a degree in accounting.
a honky-tonk accountant.
That's what the down-home girls do these days. They get degrees in accounting.
It's
smart down-home girls. But then she couldn't stand it, and she became a singer. And this is her third album. Rodney Crowell produced it, and it's definitely a little beefier than the other two. And it plays up the strength of that voice a little bit more. And the songwriting is a little better. Although when I really bore down, I decided that although the songwriting was a little better, it wasn't really great. I mean, I like that song, and I like the first song is called Times Are Tough and Rock and Roll, and this one calls He Got No Heart, and she covers The Velvet Underground Sunday Morning, and really, it's quite great, actually.
Oh, wait a minute. Now,
Sunday morning.
Can we just... Give me 30 seconds.
It's great.
Can we all sing it? We didn't do
Sunday
so good on the...
Sunday morning.
Come on, let's hear Elizabeth sing it. She really does it better than we can do it, folks.
Sunday morning brings the dawning. It's just a restless feeling by my side. Early dawning, Sunday morning. It's just the wasted year so close behind. Watch out, the world.
I'm going to get my guitar, folks. I'll be back in a little bit.
Oh, and she really kills that song.
Well, you know,
takes it right away from Nico.
She's kind of like on the Kelly Willis trajectory. You know, she's like this beautiful blonde girl with a great voice who signed to a major label and it didn't work out because she's like a little too cool for the majors in Nashville. She hangs around with the best like alt Nashville musicians like Tim Carroll and Kenny Vaughn. And, you know, she's on her own and making independent stuff with Rodney Crowell. Sounds good.
Right on. Whatever happened to Kelly Willis? I always liked
her. She had babies.
Right. Yeah, she did eventually marry one of those.
She married Bruce Robinson,
right.
Tall, strapping songwriter.
And that was
well, good for them.
She's making Claritin commercials. Haven't you seen them? Her and, she's.
You're not kidding me.
No.
Wow.
She sings a little song about, finally I'm free, thanks to Claritin Clear.
Good couple. Better she should have a good marriage than a good career, right?
No. I guess. And also, Elizabeth Cook's dad was a moonshiner.
Better she be both. Right. And also a musician, though, apparently, right? Both.
Yes,
both parents
of them,
are musicians.
Yeah.
What's Tori Amos been up to lately? There's a CD that I've not yet heard called American Doll Posse.
American Doll Posse. Her last record was called The Beekeeper, and didn't get that much notice. I didn't think it was that good a record, really. But this record is a rock record. It's not only a rock record, it's a glam rock record. And it's another one of these Tori Amos records where they're like characters, and there's a whole lyrical formal conceit that I don't even really know about because I haven't got the full story on it yet. But there is a publicity.
And maybe it isn't worth the trouble, too. That's the other problem, right?
We'll have to see.
Got
to
be sure, right?
We'll
first the songs
judgment.
Have to be good before you figure out the plot, right?
I'm willing to go a ways with Tori Amos because she's very interesting. The publicity photo that I have seen might be floating around the web is her standing in front of a suburban home with a Bible in one hand, the word shame scrawled across her palm on the other hand,
right?
And blood dripping down her leg in a very formal dress and pumps.
Wow.
So she's never been one for the subtle gestures.
Well, I can't Tori Reid.
And this is sort of harkens back to that very first record, Why Can't Tori Reid? It's almost metalish, glam metalish at points. But there's a track called Teenage Hustling, which I think is probably a pretty good example of what we're talking about.
Good. Well, let's listen to it. It comes out May 1st. It's called American Doll Posse, and this is Tori Amos.
You think you can come around here? All up in his face, all up in my world. You better know, you better know, you better know.
I want to hear something else from the record because I want to get a better flavor from it. Could you just play me 30 seconds of a couple of different cuts?
If we could jump to the middle of the track number 2, if you could jump to 1 minute 45 in track 2.
Don't you forget M-I-L-F, don't you forget M-I-L-F, don't you forget, bitch.
Well, is it going to be that one, Bob?
This
we're going to be doing that one.
A girl with balls and a MILF. I don't think we can air this.
Hey, FCC's got nothing on the internet.
Not yet.
That's right.
Exactly. Abbreviations. They can't drag us off for abbreviations. But yeah, she's feisty on this record.
I'll say.
She's always feisty. Sounds good.
Yeah, but
I have a Tori Amos problem, but I really am not convinced it isn't my problem. She's pretty smart.
She is really one of the smartest pop musicians going, and I hope this record does well. There are a few other songs that are catchy, and I don't know if they're quite radio material these days, but who cares? She's certainly got a fan base that's going to respond, and I think she might turn off a few people with this record because it's actually loud. But
good.
But I think she'll turn on some new kids too, which is good.
Maybe even some new old people.
Hey, that too. my daughter's only 5, but when she's 15, I hope that Tori Amos will still be making records like this.
She's gonna ask you what that acronym means.
Say, Dad.
Ask your mother.
So old.
There's a new record by Mavis Staples of the Staple Singers. It's called Down in Mississippi. It's a
venerable
pick for you, Meredith Hoeks. Tell me. What's this new Mavis Staples like?
Oh, man. She's one of the few people in the world who can sound righteous and totally sexy at the same time. And she does here. This is a celebration of civil rights. You know, the Staple Singers were very involved in it, made songs about it, protested, were thrown in jail. And she's on this record, she kind of draws a line between the civil rights era and Hurricane Katrina and the aftermath. And Ry Cooter produces here. He's got his son on it. Jim Keltner's playing drums.
Oh, wow.
Really nice collection of mostly covers, some that she wrote too. One about being in jail and, you know,
yeah, a lot of them are real sort of historical freedom songs.
Yeah, that's right.
Quite
and the Freedom Singers are actually on this. And the first song totally sets the tone. It's a J.B. Lenoir song. He was a Delta blues guy, moved to Chicago, who also sang really directly about civil rights during that era.
The song's called Down in Mississippi. The CD's called We'll Never Turn Back. Mavis Staples here. Comes out the 24th of April.
Down in Mississippi, way down.
It's remarkable playing and singing on this record.
Yeah, she is such a great singer.
Can we just pick one more cut? Can you pick us one more cut?
Yeah, how about 99 and a half?
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Well, I'm running. I'm trying to make 100. 99 and a half, it won't. Just won't do. Now, if your God won't help you, you better try mine. My God is a freedom God. He'll make a way for you. In a weary land, he'll give you rest when you're tired. Protect you on a danger zone. He'll guide you down a rugged road and bring you out on the bright side.
Lord, I'm running
trying to make a 100.
She is Mavis Staples. The CG's called We'll Never Turn Back. And the name of that tune is...
99 and a half.
Yeah. Sounds great.
So there's a new record out by Kings of Leon. It's called Because of the Times. And I've not heard that one yet either. Who's heard it?
I've heard it.
It's a good Kings of Leon record.
Tell us about the Kings of Leon and what's up with this record.
The Followill brothers. Is it the three brothers and a cousin, right?
Yeah,
and
so it's the Followill clan.
Right, they're the sons of, literally the sons of a preacher man. And they're holy rollers. They traveled around. Well, they had a record, Holy Roller, Novocaine. I mean, they're really, this is their...
Yeah, they grew up going the tent revivals.
Yeah, exactly.
I think their dad might have been a preacher.
Yeah, part of the Pentecostal church. But these little songs of theirs, 2-3 minutes, just packed with ferocious energy. This one, they're busting out of that. It's more dissonant. There's a lot of guitar wankery on here. They're pushing themselves. They're really pushing their art, and I love Caleb Followell's voice is great. When you can understand what he's saying, and even when you can't, actually. when I can understand it, I think he's still singing about cars and girls and Jesus. And
let's listen to a song about a great car made by Chevrolet. It's called Camaro. And that's pretty much the way it goes, rocking all the way through, Meredith.
That song is a little more like older Kings of Leon. It's more, you know, sort of dissonant on this record.
Am I to infer that perhaps you like older Kings of Leon a little bit better than you like newer Kings of Leon?
I like the fact that they're doing something else. You could feel that they're pushing themselves.
You approve, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you actually enjoy it. Is that correct?
But I wouldn't have picked it if I didn't actually enjoy it.
They're still just as badass on this record, but they are getting a little bit less rootsy, which I think is good. I think it helps them, gives them a broader palette.
I could have sworn I heard like a little stiff little fingers on a few songs. I mean, and maybe some television. It just seems like they're now going back and
that on the guitar.
Mining records outside of their, you know.
Yeah, the guitar tone on that track that we just heard is
love
wicked.
Their guitar playing.
There's a new Richard Thompson record. Has anyone heard that yet?
Yeah.
And it's sort of billed as his comeback to an electric record. I went through it only once today and didn't quite find that to be true. Let's play the one road song. I think it's cut 3, and it's called Take Care of the Road You Choose.
Get out of these shoes. I shrug off a scan or two. Oh, come look on. and all the ways to places. Peter, lost ditch rendezvous. It could have been some other place, some other time to find me. I have been in my right mind, not looking for ghosts behind me. I'd hold you with my fingers burning, kiss away a little tears of yearning. But sometimes there's no telling. Take care of the road you choose.
Really strong voiced on that record.
Yeah.
I love it. I don't know what your favorite Richard Thompson record is, Will.
Oh, gosh.
Pour Down it, Like Silver.
Pour Down Like Silver. Shoot out the Lights.
Yeah. Shoot Out the Lights. I want to see the Bright Lights tonight with Linda Thompson.
Yeah, that's
my favorite.
That might be the best.
I do like the old ones better than the...
Yeah. There's one they did. It's called Live More or Less. It was sort of this packaged record of a live concert and then some leftover studio stuff, and it was also packaged with I Want to See the Bright Lights Tonight, which I think is...
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Very favorite records of all time. It's a lousy record cover artwork, but
black,
absolutely
right?
Fantastic. It's a sort of a brown cover with a drawing, but one of the great records, Live More or Less.
Well, he's so phenomenal live.
Right. And on this record, he's playing a lot of electric, and it's just fireworks.
Look forward to it. The CD's called
Sweet Warrior.
And Will says he's now blogging on the Huffington Post.
Yeah, apparently he's... He's neighbors with Arianna Huffington in Malibu. And he posted one song from this album on the Huffington Post yesterday. A song about...
And like anyone who Arianna summons, he did what he was asked to do.
Yes, when Arianna comes...
Just being a good neighbor.
It's a song, it's a pointed song, actually a political song, about a soldier fighting in Baghdad called Dad's Gonna Kill Me. Dad in question being... Baghdad.
Apostrophe there, dad.
There are indeed an awful lot of songs coming out about the war. We're a quarter of the way through the year. We haven't favorite records here. Let's just walk around the table. Start with Robert, Chris Gow. Something you've listened to.
Yeah, The Arcade Fire, rock record of the year.
That's happening for me
wow.
too already.
I'm quite sure.
Strong words.
Quite sure that at the end of the year it will be the best liked rock record of the year. I mean, you know, what is it? It's 11 tracks and 7-8 of them are like completely... winning anthems, just as music.
Really? There are two or three real winning anthems on that record.
Put it on repeat. Do it four times.
Well,
I saw them.
I saw them play it. Okay. I saw them play it the first night of the church here.
I did too. I was there.
Oh, that's right. You were there.
Yeah.
But didn't you notice that they played nothing but new songs and people were enjoying every one?
Yeah. They're good. They're a good sounding bunch of songs.
And for you, Will Hermes.
Well, two of them we talked about. I mean, certainly the Modest Mouse I'm really excited about. But a record that I only heard once has got me really excited, and that's the new Bjork record.
Ooh, Telltale.
Which I heard a few tracks. She worked with Timbaland on it. It's definitely definitely Bjork singing over hard beats, hard danceable beats in a lot of circumstances.
Well, that's a very good combination, if you ask me.
Yeah, after the last couple of records, which have been a little bit more introverted, this is really extroverted. She's also working with an outrageous variety of people. Kanono Number One, which is this African percussion ensemble from Kinshasa, are on the record on a couple of tracks, and Tumane Diabate, the choral player.
And Timbaland.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
And Timbaland.
Oh, this, I must say, that sounds great to me.
And it's what I've heard really is exciting, and she's... she's been out of commission for a little while lately, just sort of doing lower key projects. She did a soundtrack with Matthew Barney, partner.
Helping him melt things.
Yeah. Right, shoveling Vaseline. But she's also been a mom. She's a mom for the second time, and I think she's been she was staying home and taking care of the kid. But now she.
I'd heard about the Timbaland thing, but the idea that Kanono and Tamana Diabate are on the record, that's
pretty exciting.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is it doesn't sound like the Nelly Furtado record that Timbaland produced.
I'm very glad to hear that.
So am I, because Bjork, being a producer herself, worked with Timbaland. He produced some tracks, and then she took the tapes home. The tapes took the files home and sort of produced them further. So it's unusual stuff.
And did we get Meredith's pick of so far what you're listening to more than anything else?
Well, Wilco is one of them, the one we already talked about. And the other one is a band you've never heard of. None of you have, I don't think. It's Kaiser Cartel. They're this duo from Brooklyn.
Wow.
This,
no relation to the Kaiser Chiefs?
No. One is like Kaiser and one is Cartel. They're, it's their last names. And it's just this boy-girl duo that are so great. I rarely go see a band that I just have no idea who they are. And I walked into a bar and they were playing. And I love them. And they have a record coming out later this year. And I've been listening to the tracks.
Putting it out,
They're putting it out independently, but it's like my favorite.
Send me one.
I will. They're the best. Kaiser Cartel.
You told me about another great Brooklyn band.
The Last Town Chorus, too.
The Last Town Chorus. That is a gorgeous
record. Yeah, it's a really good record.
Yeah.
I highly recommend that.
Hey, don't I get to talk about my Brooklyn band?
You bet. Go
Please.
To it.
Balkan Beatbox on J-Dub. Really two guys.
Yeah, J-Dub, the people who gave us Matis Yahu.
Right. I prefer this.
Is it J for Jewish?
Ori Kaplan, a former saxophone player with Gogol Bordello, who are really my favorite.
Balkan.
No, they're my favorite American rock band to emerge in this decade. Never mind millennium, just decade, it'll do. and the other guy is Tamir Muscat, this drummer who has worked with Gogol Bordello on a strange project and who is in a band called Big Lazy. Does anybody know who Big Lazy is?
No. Yeah,
boy, what a good band. Yeah. An instrumental band. But Balkan Beatbox, these guys are both Israeli expats. And they're not, and like Frank London of the Klezmatics, they're looking back to Eastern Europe and finding out not klezmer, but gypsy music, which is not Jewish music. But nevertheless, this is a band that tries to do gypsy stuff on top of klezmer stuff, and also they're
with some dub reggae
with some dub reggae and anything else they feel like. I've seen them live a couple of times. I saw them once at Southport in Brooklyn. It was one of the great live shows I've seen in years. I mean, a whole bunch of people with yarmulkes just partying their asses off. It was really, it was so great. I mean, not all of them. I mean, there was a substantial portion of Orthodox Jews.
You didn't have to put a yarmulke on when you went into the room?
No, not at Southpaw, goodness sake. And there was a Palestinian rapper comes on the stage. I mean, anything.
And a tuba player who does some very mean bass
lines. A lot of horns, and then but when you see them live, there's more horns making noise than there are horns on stage because the keyboard players can play whatever they want, right? So there are keyboard players throwing horn noises in there and whatever else they feel like.
Well, I'm eager to hear this.
The track I picked is actually the most gypsy of the tracks. It's called $20 for Boban. Boban is Boban Markovic, who leads the great Serbian gypsy brass band. I assume that's what that means. And I don't have any credits in this record, so I don't know if he's on it or what, but this is $20 for Boban.
So let's go out on that. Thank you, everybody. Thank you to Robert Christgau, Will Hermes, Meredith Oakes. All these songs we'll try to get online in full versions on our website. And if you don't get our podcast, subscribe to it. Our engineer here in D.C. is Andy Rosenberg. Josh Rogerson is up in New York. Robin Hilton is our producer for NPR Music. It's All Songs Considered.
Like your music a little country? Listen to KUT's Radio Without Borders podcast for music Austin, Texas style. Available at npr.org/podcasts.